From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies of the Epistle to the Romans. The text is chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. Many of the problems experienced by believers arise from a failure to understand what the gospel is all about. Too often, those who profess Christ find themselves laboring under feelings of guilt about past sins or failing to experience the assurance of salvation they know they should have. As Dr. Cairns is seeking to show from this text, there is more to salvation than mere pardon or reciting the sinner's prayer. What God requires is a sinner's measuring up to the standard of His righteousness, something no human being can do for himself. But God has provided that righteousness in Christ. This is at the heart of the doctrine of justification by faith, in which God declares a guilty sinner to be righteous in His sight on the basis of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the conclusion of a message called Righteousness Without Works. But first, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled The All of Belief. The text is Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Our unbelief is the greatest hindrance in our way. In fact, there is no other real difficulty as to our spiritual progress and prosperity. The Lord can do everything. But when He makes a rule that according to our faith so shall it be unto us, our unbelief ties the hands of His omnipotence. Yes, the confederacies of evil shall be scattered if we can but believe. Despised truth shall lift its head if we will but have confidence in the God of truth. We can bear our load of trouble or pass uninjured through the waves of distress if we can gird our loins with the girdle of peace, that girdle which is buckled on by the hands of trust. What can we not believe? Is everything possible except believing in God? Yet He is always true. Why do we not believe Him? He is always faithful to His word. Why can we not trust Him? When we are in a right state of heart, faith costs no effort. It is then as natural for us to rely upon God as for a child to trust its father. The worst of it is that we can believe God about everything except the present pressing trial. This is folly. Come, my soul, shake off such sinfulness, and trust thy God with the load, the labor, the longing of this present. This done, all is done.
Gain I count for loss, and for contempt I know my pride.
have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
God does not, in justification, transform the character. What He does is give us a legal standing, a new standing in law. Your guilt is gone. Your condemnation is removed. You now stand, as Isaiah 61 tells us, clothed in the garments of salvation and in the robe of righteousness. You stand decked, and that's Isaiah's word, decked out in the righteousness of Christ, where God lays the merit of everything Christ has done to our account, just as He laid all the demerit of our sin to His account. When God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, that we might be constituted righteous, acceptable by the standard of the holy law of God, solely on the basis of His doing. And can I add this? Solely on the basis and the merit of His doing, not ours. And that includes even our doing of believing. You see, believing, faith, is a gift that Christ has purchased. And even that is provided for us. It adds nothing to the merits of Christ, for it is the fruit of the merits of Christ. God has hedged this about. You're not saved by some sort of cooperative effort between you and God. If you're to be saved, you're saved by grace alone, by Christ alone, by the merits of His righteousness alone. People will immediately say, does this mean that Christians have no obligation to keep God's law? Do they have no obligation to do good works? To ask that question is to answer it. Certainly Christians have an obligation to keep the will and law of God. But the answer really is this. They don't do these things in order to be justified. They do them because they are justified. It's a world of difference. If you're doing in order to be justified, you'll live a life of frustration and you'll die the death of the ungodly. But if you're doing because you are freely justified by His grace, you have the key to liberty and life and victory and holiness. Here then is the theme of the gospel revelation. Quickly let me point out the latter part of the text. The testimony to this gospel revelation, it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now Paul has already mentioned this in chapter 1 and verse 2. When he speaks of the gospel which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So he's already mentioned it. He will deal with this aspect very fully in chapter 4. When he starts with the example of Abraham and then moves on to David and then comes back to Abraham. And he will expound those examples very fully, showing that the Old Testament witness is exactly the same as what he is witnessing here. You see, we need to make this very clear in our minds that the Bible knows only one way of salvation. Many of you have been brought up on the Scofield Bible. Now, there are some wonderful features in the Scofield Bible. I think it's the best laid out study Bible that has ever been laid out. Some of its notes are very helpful. Its prophetic scheme is just about as far off base as you can get. Unfortunately, it popularized the crazy notion that there are seven different gospels for seven different periods or eras in time, different dispensations. It popularized the notion that in the Old Testament, people were saved by their own keeping of the law. And indeed, when the church has been raptured and left the world for 7 years, which of course is again Hans Andersen fairy tale, it's never going to happen. But when that takes place, then the Jews will be back to preaching a gospel of works and of works righteousness. And the great question then is, if people needed personal obedience to the law to merit salvation in the Old Testament, if they could get right with God that way in the Old Testament, and they can get right with God that way sometime in the future, why can't sinners get right with God this way today? Why did Jesus Christ go through the horrors of the cross? If at the end of the day the Unitarians are right and God can save sinners by their own efforts. The truth is, and the law itself makes this clear, that in the Old Testament people could not be saved by their own righteousness. When Paul spoke of the way of salvation that he preached, he said in Acts 26:22 that he obtained help from God to continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, and saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Paul says what I'm preaching is what Moses preached. And perverts the gospel to make it a gospel of works righteousness in the Old Testament. Do you ever ask yourself why the Lord first of all gave 10 commandments, moral law, and then he added to it what to modern readers seems a very tedious recitation of multitudes of sacrificial laws? Have you ever tried reading through the book of Leviticus? Have you ever seen those 5 major offerings and then all the other subsidiary offerings? When you read through the book of Leviticus, it's a book that's awash in blood. Do you ever ask yourself, why did God do this? The answer is very simple. The moral law condemns. God gave the Levitical or the ceremonial law to point forward to the sacrifice of Christ as the answer to that condemnation, to the redemption that he had in Christ Jesus. And in the Old Testament, all things were dealt with on the ground of blood. Sin could only be purged by shed blood. So much so that Paul says, without shedding of blood is no remission. And that's his summation of the entire Old Testament economy. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. You see, this doctrine of righteousness apart from our personal obedience, based on the obedience of another, is the doctrine of the whole Bible. As I say, we'll see that much more clearly as it is worked out by Paul in the 4th chapter. Here, in this part, he is simply laying down the groundwork. Remember this, as Peter said, in the household of Cornelius, to him, that is to Christ, give all the prophets witness. The whole Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, points to Christ. The righteousness of Christ. The obedience of Christ, God's one and only way of salvation. You know, when you think of that, that adds a powerful solemnity to the words of the Lord Jesus himself in Luke 16, in what some take to be an actual story and others take to be a parable of the rich man who died and went to hell. And he saw the poor man who had sat at his gate full of sores in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man was crying to Abraham to send someone to his brethren still on earth to warn them of the horrors of hell, to get right with God while there was time. And Abraham said, these are the words that Christ himself put in his mouth, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Think of what that's saying. In the context, if people will not hear the witness of Moses and the prophets, there is no way known to God to save them from hell. As we leave God's house tonight, I want you to take that with you. I pray God will write it in letters of blazing fire on your heart. If you hear not with the hearing of faith the single, undivided testimony of the entire Scriptures that the only way of salvation is in and through and because of the righteous merits of Jesus Christ, which can and will be made over to your account solely by faith and without any meritorious action in your part. If you will not hear that message, then listen carefully. Once again, there is no way known to God to save you from eternal hell. He has provided a perfect righteousness to free you from the guilt of sin, to free you from the condemnation of sin, to place in your hand the title deed to heaven itself, to give you the passport to glory, the legal right of entry to be where Jesus is. That's what God provides in the righteousness revealed in the gospel. Let me ask you, do you know anything about that? Have you ever honestly been brought to the end of your rotten self-righteousness and self-reliance? Have you ever been brought to the place of acknowledgement, I am a foul, filthy, guilty sinner, and every effort I make to save myself sinks me but deeper in the condemnation of a holy God? I'm lost. I'm undone. I'm within a gasp of hell, and rightly so. But now, God has revealed to me, and I have received that revelation by believing faith, by a simple yet complete commitment of my soul to the merits of Christ, I have received that revelation of the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That's the way of life. That's the way to be justified. If you've never been justified, you stand in urgent need. You'll find justification when you find Christ, for He is our righteousness. Come and welcome to Christ. Call on Him, O thou righteous one, be my righteousness, my justification, so that I will have a perfect acceptance with God, constituted righteous at His judgment bar only because of Christ's righteousness imputed to me and received by faith alone.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.